I think it's universal that almost all of us want to live a good life. We want happiness. We want good things in our life. We want good times in our life. But are you taking the time to make these things happen, to reflect, to plan, to strategize, to have a good life instead of letting it come to you by chance or letting life's circumstances dictate your happiness, your enjoyment of life? Let's talk about it. Welcome to Limitless. Welcome to the Limitless Podcast. So glad that you are here. My name is Alex. I think most of us have limitations in our lives that are real. We have to work around challenges, adversity. These things make us stronger. No great goal can be achieved without facing some challenges or adversity or struggles or even times we're not sure it's going to happen. Then there are limits that we create in our own minds, limits of us talking ourselves out of good things in our life. Doubts, fears, things that we create in our own minds. Today, I want to talk about living a good life, enjoying life on purpose, being intentional about reflection, planning, and strategy to improve your life, to improve your happiness, no matter how good it is, no matter where you're at mentally or physically, there's always new levels to reach. And one of the things that centurions, people who live to 100, will tell you is constant challenges and growth in their life. Not sweating the small stuff and purposefully finding the joy in life. I got this idea, two things popped in front of me. Number one, I started thinking about universal truths. There's so few of them, right? Death and taxes. But one of them, as I was diagnosed with glaucoma and facing inevitable blindness if something wasn't done, I thought, it's universal. Nobody wants to go blind. I started thinking about other universals. I thought, you know, everybody wants to enjoy life. 99.9% of us want more life enjoyment, more good things in our life. And with that, I came across an article in a magazine called The Atlantic online and an article by a guy named Arthur Brooks. I don't know The Atlantic. I've never read it before. And he referenced the five pillars of a good life that were written by a Swedish psychologist named Carl Jung. I never heard of him, but I enjoyed this article. I enjoyed how Mr. Brooks broke down the five pillars of a good life that Carl Jung put out there. So today I'm going to break them down as well, and I'm going to use Mr. Brooks, give credit where credit is due. He actually gave a breakdown, seven ways to apply this. So I'm going to go through this now. I've taken his writing and I paraphrased it and I've taken it and repurposed it for my life and my beliefs and how I think it can help us break through limits. But certainly this idea came to me from this blog on The Atlantic by Arthur Brooks, based on Carl Jung's five pillars of a good life. Do you regularly review the pillars of your life, the areas of your life that could bring you joy and more satisfaction that are important? Most of us don't. We'll spend time putting together a grocery list, but we won't spend 15 or 20 minutes a week or even be crazy a day, 20 minutes a day to plan out our life and ask ourselves how we could be happier, how we could learn more, how we could do more, how we could enjoy life more, more adventure, how we can improve our lives, no matter how good they are. For me, every year and every month and every quarter, I look at what I would call my six pillars of my life: adventure, my family, my finances, my personal growth and development, my fitness and health, and my opportunities, my career opportunities, how I want to grow professionally, how I want to grow my skills, how I want to get more opportunities. But I reviewed Carl Jung's five pillars of a good life, and I thought it was a great reflection. And I've written it down, and I want to reflect on these things. By the way, where I'm recording today, there is a lot going on around me. There are dogs barking. There are people mowing lawns. There are people driving by. There are people slamming doors. If you hear any of that, I apologize, but I couldn't wait to get this message out to you. So the five pillars of a good life from Carl Jung, Swedish psychologist. Number one, good physical and mental health. And this was number one for a reason, top of the list. He stressed this is the most important area. All five are important, but that's the most important. Good physical and mental health. Number two, quality relationships. Number three, seeing beauty in art and nature. Number four, a reasonable standard of living and satisfying work. And number five, the fifth pillar, is a philosophical or religious outlook that fosters resilience. I love that. Not just having a spiritual relationship, but one that fosters resilience. It impacts our outlook. So I'm going to break each of these down, and then I'm going to go through Arthur Brooks' seven ways to apply these. I thought they were great as well. So for me, number one, good physical and mental health. This is number one for a reason. This is a challenge for so many of us. I think it's some close to 80% of people in the United States are obese, not overweight, not they could lose 5 pounds, they're obese. Good physical and mental health, anxiety and stress at all-time high levels. Are you taking time for yourself? Are you working on yourself? Are you getting in better physical condition? Are you eating better? Are you making sure you're getting fruits and vegetables? Are you making sure that you can do the things you want to do? In my trips to the ophthalmologist for my various eye surgeries, I was always the youngest person there, and I am not a young man anymore. Looking around, watching people who are in their late 60s and early 70s who can barely walk, who are on dozens of prescriptions. Now, sometimes that's medically necessary. Sometimes there's nothing we can do, but most of the time, a sedentary lifestyle is what most people live. They stop moving. They stop enjoying life. They start using words like someday I'll do this, or I used to, these were the good old days back then. I used to be able to do this. Good physical and mental health. Are you making this a priority? Are you working on it? Doing things you love to get your body moving. If you don't like running, you don't have to run. Can you walk? If you don't want to go to a gym, can you go on YouTube and do some cardio videos? There is probably millions of videos on YouTube that are 100% free of stretching, of yoga, of cardio, body weight exercises. Every single one of us, if capable, should lift some sort of weight, even light, to keep muscle tone, to keep muscle strength, especially as we age. Number one, good physical and mental health. Number one for a reason. This is number one in my life. It's hard to say that's more important than family and finances, but I can't enjoy my life, family and finances and opportunities that may come my way if I don't have good physical and mental health. And I know what it's like to have poor physical health. I know what it's like to have poor mental health. I don't want either one of those things, but we can't leave this to chance. That introduces limitations, and we let circumstances dictate our mental health. Instead, take it by the reins. Take control. Be the captain of that ship. Make it a priority. Small steps over time, because the other reason we give up in these areas is we want to see the microwave mentality. We want instant results. We get on a new diet. We do it for a few weeks. We don't see major impact. And so we stop. I was talking to a friend not too long ago who asked me about my weight loss and fitness, and I explained, I use the MyFitnessPal app, I just count calories, it's basic science, 3,500 calories is a pound for most of us, I try to stay in a deficit, and I try to finish the week between 2,000 and 3,500 calories in a deficit. They tried it for probably a week, said it doesn't work for them. A week? A week. My friends, this is a priority. Take a long-term approach to your physical and mental health a little bit better each and every day. The second pillar, relationships, quality relationships, been shown as we get older. No matter how popular we are, no matter how many friends we have now, as we age, the older we get, the fewer people we want in our lives. Our circle becomes smaller because we want quality over quantity. Are you deepening your relationships? And that starts with us, 100% us. No agenda. Are you showing up for the people you love and care about the most with no agenda? 100%. Not 50-50. Are you being the person they need you to be? Are you investing in their lives? Are you showing you care? Are you doing little things to deepen your relationship with them? Do you know their love language? Whether this is a romantic relationship or a family relationship or a friend, do you know what makes them feel appreciated and loved? Quality relationships, one of the areas that impacted so many people during COVID when they couldn't meet people face to face anymore. And they felt like they lost touch, that social interaction. Especially extroverts, they need that. It gives them energy. For someone like me who's an introvert, I do get energy from relationships, not social interaction, not being in social situations, but from quality relationships. All of us need a quality relationship in our life. And that could be romantic and intimate. We need love. We need affection. We need mutual love, but we also need to sow into other people. Are you making quality relationships a priority in your life? The number three priority, number three pillar, according to Dr. Carl Jung, seeing beauty in art and nature. This isn't a challenge for me, but I want the constant reminder to get out there in nature. I'm out there all the time, but what I have to remind myself of, what is the challenge, is to slow down. Enjoy what's around me. Enjoy the birds in my front yard. Enjoy my hikes. Take the headphones out. Listen to the birds. See the animals. Look for snakes. Enjoy nature. And then art is everywhere. Art is truly in the eye of the beholder. And I think in seeing beauty in art and nature, the point really here is to slow down, to get into your hobbies, to get into your art, to spend time slowing down without technology. This impacts your health, your fitness, your fun, making that quality time for yourself and others. So many of us are suffering from busyness disease and rocking chair activity, meaning, you know, a rocking chair, we're rocking, whole lot of motion, but we're not going anywhere. Busy, 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 busy. I've had no fewer than half a dozen people in the last 2 weeks tell me they couldn't get to something because they were busy. I've been so busy. We're all busy. We're all busy. Slow down. The third pillar of a good life, seeing beauty in art and nature. Anyone can do it. Are you making the time for it? Impacts so many areas of our life. The fourth pillar is a reasonable standard of living and satisfying work. This doesn't have to come from your job. We've all had jobs, including me, many jobs in my instance where it wasn't satisfying. And if you've got the means, you're making enough to cover your bills, then find other ways for satisfying work. Maybe you need to leave your job, but maybe your job is going to cover your bills and you're going to find satisfying work somewhere else, maybe even not paid work. Maybe it's starting a podcast or writing a book or a blog. For me, this podcast is not paid work, but it is the most satisfying, some of the most satisfying work I've ever done in my life. Most of you listening, I will never meet, but knowing it's getting out there and the chance to impact and influence people. And it has led to amazing relationships in my life, which is worth way more than money. It's also led to some financial opportunities. If you don't have a reasonable standard of living, work towards it. You are not a victim. Work towards it. I know what it's like to live below the poverty line, and I never want to go back, but I had to work towards it. It wasn't going to fall in my lap. I am not a lottery winner, but in a sense I am. Because I don't need the lottery to enjoy my life and work towards a better life. A reasonable standard of living and satisfying work. Find things that satisfy you and gratify you. That is your obligation and responsibility. And the fifth pillar of a good life, my friends, we got to take the wheel here. If we want a good life, it is up to us, not the circumstances, not the president, not the government, not your political party, not your religion. You've got the tools and the means necessary. The fifth pillar is a philosophical or religious outlook that fosters resilience. Resilience, what a powerful word. This is your spirituality. It's belief. It's faith. That facing adversity and challenges have a purpose in our life. They make us stronger and better. And to have a spiritual relationship that fosters resilience. So you're not alone. You're never alone. I love this. More resilience in my life, the better. The more resilience, the more belief and faith I have to overcome self-imposed limits, which is what this podcast is all about. All right, there you go. The five pillars of a good life, according to Dr. Carl Jung. I love these. Good physical and mental health, quality relationships, seeing beauty in art and nature, the reasonable standard of living and satisfying work, and a philosophical or religious outlook that fosters resilience facing adversity. Okay, now I'm going to go through Arthur Brooks, who wrote in The Atlantic, 7 ways to apply these to your life. I like these as well. Number one, long-term happiness should be our goal, not short-term happiness. Getting happier every day, doing things that make us happy, but not short-term happiness, not material things. Our goal should be long-term sustained happiness. Number two, major sources of misery in our lives are mental and physical health, poor mental and physical health. Tend to these things make them a priority. Number three, accomplishments and satisfying work are greater than money. We need money, but we also need accomplishment and satisfaction in our work. Number four, make it a priority to deepen your most quality relationships. Happiness is in relationships. And Arthur Brooks says, happiness is love. I love that. Number five, he says, experiences, not things. Talk about this a lot on the Limitless podcast. Spend your money on experiences, not things. Things sometimes we need, but that happiness is fleeting. Experiences last forever in our minds. Number six, nature and art nourish your spirit. Make time to enjoy them and slow down. And number seven, find ways to deepen your spirituality. And for me, this hit me. And I started a new journal where I'm taking a Bible verse every day. And how does it apply to my life? What area of my life? How do I follow the example? All right, there you go. Five pillars of a good life from Dr. Carl Jung and from Arthur Brooks in The Atlantic, seven ways to apply it. Application, three-piece application. I think you can pick any three of these things and get on them right away. Just pick one and you'll be ahead of the game. But let's go through three. Number one, slow down. Make time for your art. Make time to enjoy art. And make time to get out in nature, even if that's a walk in your neighborhood with no headphones where you can listen to the birds. And make it a point once a quarter to do a little travel and enjoy yourself. Number two, the major sources of misery in our lives are a lack of mental and physical health, poor mental and physical health. Tend to these things, make them a priority. Pick one area and pick one thing you can start today or continue to do. And number three, short-term happiness is fleeting. Our goal should be doing things and working towards long-term happiness. Do you even know what that means to you? Define it and work towards it. My friends, you can live a good life. You're destined to live a good life. You're hearing this for a reason, to break through limits, to live your best life. I hope you'll apply these things, and I know you will, and I know you can, because you are limitless.